So the last time we were together, we heard quite a bit from Billy Fingers, what a name. And I know when we talk about those things, people get all excited because there's a lot going on in the book, and I just want to, just a small word of understanding is that we got to remember Billy was still in between two worlds. Billy had not totally transformed over into the world beyond time and space. And why? How do I know this? Well, because he was communicating into a world of time and space. And in the next dimension, if I can call that, it's nothing like this dimension, because this dimension is a mind form dimension. There isn't anything out there forming this except our projection. And we're going to talk about that quite a bit, because, you know, if we take a rock and throw it on our toe, it hurts, right? So what does all that mean? And I'm going to share something with you tonight, which is not a normal, that is really going to be at a pretty high shock level initially. And although it's time for us to go there, because we've been circling around this wagon for a long time. And my mother gave me a name, Olin. And it's not my identity. It's my mission. And it means son of peace. So it's not who I am, it's what my purpose is. And I recognized this years ago, that I was on a path that I had no control over. And it's called spontaneous life. Everyone's on this path, but not very many people are aware of it. And for maybe the first time in our world, I'm not saying the world, but the first time in our world, I'm going to be sharing the keys to a real and lasting peace, which I have seen of an incorporeal kingdom. Now, my first glimpse of the incorporeal kingdom happened in Hong Kong about 3 years ago, and I was literally in a high-rise building in downtown Hong Kong on the 32nd floor, looking out through these plate glass windows when this overcame me. And I could see the buildings, but they became transparent. And I could see the mountains, but they became transparent. And it gave me a view of the fact that what we see and hear and experience with our five senses always plays tricks on our mind. And what we see and judge, and that's the key word. It's not so much what we see that's the issue, it's what we judge with our five senses that's the issue. And so this incorporeal kingdom began to be made aware to me, but I couldn't describe it. I didn't understand very much about it, except that I knew it was something beyond the five senses, which we talked about quite a bit and have talked about before. But now, more than ever, the illusion of the vision needs to be exposed for what it is, and that's a dream world. Now, how do I know it's a dream world? Because everything we experience comes to us from the judgment of our mind. It's not, I'm not going to argue with somebody about whether that birch tree out there is real. It makes no difference to me. I'm not going to argue with somebody about whether Jesus really came or not. It doesn't matter. It's nothing worth arguing about. But what I am going to say is everyone forms their version of this objective world by their own mind. And so everybody lives in that world by their mind. And it's a dream world. I know it. I've experienced the fear and the sense of frustration of the senses that comes with that. I've experienced it myself, so I know that it's a dream because it can change at any whim. It can change at any moment based on my perception of what I'm seeing. I've experienced this last couple weeks going through some difficult times. So what I'm going to share with you isn't something that's directed at you. It's something that we all need to hear and understand, because I just have never had the capacity to put these lessons together from the beginning. I don't know how to do that, and I've never done it. And so this message isn't coming from me, although it shocks me as well. I'm shocked by what I'm hearing. But as it unfolds, as it begins and unfolds, I begin to understand it more. I begin to understand why it's so important. And so there's this illusion of the vision we all have that needs to be exposed. So it's not a message of fear or judgment, but of unconditional love and eternal joy. So this is going to help you live in this pure bliss that all of the Eastern teachers have shared with us. And it's not necessarily a word that's never been spoken, I'm sure, in the world somewhere, but it's not a word that I've heard. And it's just started to come around. And so what is the illusion that we embrace which hides the vision of pure life, pure light? What is this illusion? I really see it as one of the biggest enemies to finding our peace. And that's the illusion for compassion. It tricks us into trying to aid a dying and sleeping world to stay in their slumber. What's being spoken of those that's not tasted of this kingdom of light is that they're speaking from the fear of death and a deep connection to this world. Well, where is this deep connection to the world coming from? The illusion of compassion. Everybody experiences this. It pulls on all of us to want to help, to want to give somebody a cup of water, or give somebody a meal that's starving, or all these things that are going on out in the world. And in our mind, we always approach it from that something's wrong. And that's the wrong approach. And I'm not saying we don't help. I'm not saying that. But we help in a different way. And we're going to get really, really deep into this tomorrow so that it actually even makes sense to the mind. But we go out then, we hear all these things, and they come to us, and they encourage us, and then we go right back out and get caught up in it again. And it's those that catch themselves getting caught up in it that start to get delivered, instead of defending themselves and saying they know it. Listen, I don't understand this. And if you run around saying, oh yeah, I understand this and I've heard it, but I know better, then you really haven't heard it. You just heard it with your mind. There's a huge difference between hearing something with our mind, because when we hear something with our mind, we always want to run around and correct everything all the time. We're always wanting to correct everything. Well, this isn't about correcting anybody. It's about exposing the dream for what it is. And what I'm saying is we're having compassion for a dream that's an illusion. Now, how far are we really going to get with that? And if we're all honest, we haven't gotten very far with it. It's just been temporary fixes. So a guy needs some water, and you give him a drink of water, but the next day he's going to be thirsty again. So we're not really changing anything. Why? Because in this world, everyone dies. In this world. This world is a death realm. This world isn't a life realm. Because there isn't one person that I know that doesn't have some level of fear about death. And if they tell me they don't, I don't believe them. I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. I know what it feels like. So our biggest enemy, wow, the illusion of compassion. We get pulled by our emotions, so our emotions are leading us, and our mind then says, we need to do this and we need to do that. And I'm not saying for you to stop any of that. That's not what I'm saying. So all the naysayers out there that are all getting worked up right now, I'm not saying to stop anything. I'm saying it entraps us into moving away from the real answer, which I'm going to share with you. What's the real answer? What's a permanent answer? What's an answer that's going to help somebody for eternity? How about that? Instead of help somebody temporarily in a hell that's destruction and death in it. Really? There's something a lot more that's out there, and I wanted to get into it a little bit tonight, but it's quite lengthy, and so I'm saving it for tomorrow to really get into it, but you're really going to like it. So, Gurdjieff spoke about this a little bit, and I'm quoting him here. He says, the modern man lives in sleep. In sleep he is born, and in sleep he dies. Everyone who is in a waking state is really in a state of hypnotic waking sleep. Now what is that? The state of hypnotic waking sleep is our attachment to this world and thinking that we need to change it in some capacity. That's the hypnotic state. You'll never ever believe with your mind that nothing in this world needs to be changed. Ever. People will line up forever and argue with me about that statement. And I have nothing to say to them. The mind can't win on that level. Our minds can't argue about that and have anyone win. Because we're talking about a realm that I'm saying isn't even real. So why would I want to argue with you on that level? It doesn't work. So, in this state, people are in a resting sleep, which is literally sleep with dreams. Now, I sort of prefer that state over my waking state, to be honest with you, because I have pretty active, vivid dreams. And sometimes I've had a tiger bite me in the ass. And guess what? I escape it immediately by waking up and rubbing my ass. I said, well, he really didn't get me. You know, I got out just in time. Right? Now, I don't know if any of you have dreams that vivid, but I do all the time. Every night. And I have to use lavender to help calm them down. So that I don't, because usually I used to, before I had lavender, I would remember some of them for days. And sometimes it would torment me. you know. But a waking sleep is when a man walks and talks and acts like he knows what he's doing. But man is asleep. And until you admit that to yourself, without somebody forcing it down your throat, you're still asleep. Until you have come to that place of silence and admitted that without comment, without commentary, trying to defend something, you've never seen it. And so I'm pushing you. Does it do me any good to speak to you? I'm pushing you to realize this. Man does not have real consciousness or a will at all. Man is not free. However, man can become conscious and find a real place in this kingdom, but this requires a profound inner transformation. Now, who is being transformed? No one. And that's the key. When we realize that it takes a really serious inner transformation, when we get there, we realize nothing ever needed to happen. That's how deep the illusion is. That's why no one's ever found it. No man can find this. Until you realize you're not a human being and you're not a man and you're not a person with five senses and a body and a mind, you will not begin to recognize what I'm sharing with you. You won't even get a glimpse of it. It's not something you knew. It's something that has to be undone. You can't know it with your mind. It's something that overtakes you and undoes concepts we've had. One, about the world out there. Now, I can't sit and watch a movie, especially some of these movies my wife likes to watch, without getting teary and having compassion. So I'm not saying I'm innocent. Okay? So don't get me wrong. I can stand over there and talk and then go out and sit and say amen and come back over here if you want me to. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, people are so sensitive today about their identity and their personality that you can't hardly speak anymore.
Yeah.
So, I'm doing the best I can with what I have, which isn't much. So that's why when we prepare for these meetings and get together, I always get nervous right before they start, because I just don't want to say anything. And I usually get to these places where nothing comes together. And here we were gone until last night at 10 o'clock on vacation. Well, it was pretty noisy down there, right? There was a big construction project next to us hammering all day long, and I couldn't get very focused, and I thought, well, I don't know what's going to happen. Because usually the week before, I'm compiling notes and going through some things that I've been directed to read or look at that help put the things together. And that happened, but it happened a few weeks ago, and nothing happened this week. So guess what? I was pretty nervous.
It was noisy. Plus, we went to the zoo.
So how can we say there's a profound inner transformation when no one can be transformed? That's the key right there. That's the step into spontaneous life. It's really your freedom. That's why I keep saying over and over and over again, nothing's out of order. But the judges of this world use that as an excuse instead of realizing that statement is just for you. It's not for you to use to share it with others. It's not for you to use to correct others. it's not for you to use to say to someone when something's going to hell in a handbasket. It's never been its purpose at all to use it in that capacity. It's been something for you to get alone in your closet or your car, lock the windows and doors, and just let it sink in. What does it mean to you that nothing's out of order? That's as far as it goes. So many people are using it out of the reason that I say it. They don't understand that it was for me when I heard it. It was to help me realize that nothing has ever been out of order and that there are no mistakes. The mind is never going to embrace that there are no mistakes. And so when people are clamoring and talking about all the problems in the world and the issues in the world to any level, you don't understand these two statements for yourself, okay? You certainly can't help others come to that same conclusion. Because there's a lot of clamoring going on about what's going on in the world. And I've never changed that statement in 10 years. That's never, ever changed. And what happened when it came to me? I remember when it overwhelmed me and I began to realize how much I judged the hell out of everything. Mm-hmm. I did. I didn't run around telling somebody, you know, you judge the hell out of stuff. It shook me up. I was sharing at that time with Diane and Liz how I went into the airport and I had this one rule that I thought was a pretty good rule. I thought it was just for people's safety. And that is, you never pass somebody on an escalating stairways. Mm-hmm. You remember that story I told way, way, way back then? Well, guess what happened after this started coming to me? Here comes this maniac wanting to pass me on the escalating stairways. And instead of this revelation kicking in, right, it was the worst it ever was. I acted like a total ass. But guess what? It really, really sunk in. I mean, I even went to the security guard and reported this guy. I said, this guy almost mowed me over. And I mean, these escalating stairways I was on was probably really, it was really narrow. It wasn't two lanes. Do you know what I mean? So there wasn't room for two people. And this guy was like a zebra coming down this thing, you know, and just was so offended when I wouldn't get out of his way, but I really didn't know how to get out of his way. And I had my suitcase beside me. Somehow he got around me. I almost turned into a tackle on the offensive line, okay? I didn't say defensive, I said offensive. But what happened? I sat there at the end of all that and I said, oh my gosh, this is it. Here's been a perfect example of what I'm talking about, that we're still connected and stuck in this world when we're complaining about this world to any degree. We haven't seen what I saw on the escalator. Now, am I saying that's the last time it caught me? No, but I'm telling you what, it really, really slowed me down to really observe and be sensitive about me. Not about you, but yet I'll be hearing about how Mike's the judge of judges, you know, and he's corrupting people. I'm just sharing with you the secret to the keys to the kingdom, only because I love you and I want to see you escape what I'm talking about is this illusion of compassion and illusion of the real vision. You can't have one foot in this world and experience an eternal bliss and joy. Now, you don't have to wait till your toe quits wiggling. Now, isn't that exciting? Wouldn't that be exciting if you got clear in the end and what we call death comes up and you find out it isn't real?
Yeah.
What a waste of time. hello? What if he got there and he said, you know, this, none of this is real, and your whole life you were afraid of it?
Yeah.
What if I could tell you how to be set free from that right now?
Yep.
Huh? Would you want that, or would you, everybody raise their hand and tell me they understand it already? No one understands what I'm talking about. I don't even understand it. I don't even understand it. Why? Because this thing can't understand it. But it's a feeling. And what if you got to the end and you realize it was all a puff of smoke and it was a dream and nobody dies? What if that was with you and overtook you and so powerful that you always had a smile on your face, no matter what? Mm. What about that? Mm. Now I'm telling you, death has breathed down my door. Okay? I've experienced things that I never thought I would as a 60-year-old man. Okay? And I haven't shared a lot about it, and I'm not going to, because it's nobody's business. It doesn't matter. The details of it don't matter. But I could see what my own mind did to me. I could see how I was asleep. I could see how I could run around day after day saying there's no such thing as death, there's no such thing as death, and have it mean nothing. Yet all of us talk about life as what we experience in this realm, and folks, I'm here to tell you that's not life. All of our experience in this realm has nothing to do with life. It's no different than death. It's a living, walking death. And that's what Gurdjieff is talking about. Man is asleep. He doesn't know who he is. And how do you know you don't know who you are? You're attached to this world. Mm-hmm. That's how you know. Look at yourself. Is what you're expressing, is your intention and purpose to bring joy and peace and to deliver people from the fear of death, from the fear of life? Because really, life and death here are the same thing. What we call life isn't really life. They're the same thing. What if I could promise you that when your toe quits wiggling, it'll be a big cosmic joke? Billy Fingers told us. What did he say? What was the first thing he said to his sister? Do you remember? Does anybody remember? He said, we take our definition of life here way too seriously. What he really was saying is it's not true. Every one of you that's listening, every one of you sitting here, know deep inside that you're eternal. Yeah. You know that. You can feel that. Now, if you're eternal, that means you can't die. And so we've got an identity crisis going on here. We haven't really tapped into that thing which is eternal. So your home is right now in an incorporeal infinite universe of spirit. And that is where you will find reality, and you won't find it anywhere else. The understanding of incorporeality was what Joel Goldsmith said was the end game. Now I say that word, and to most people it's a pretty empty word. But Joel said it was the end game. Herb Fitch said it was the end game. I found the same truth in just about every transcript I've ever read, as far back as the first transcript that was ever written. I found these same words. in them. I've looked for them. And there's been a pattern. All of the great seers of this incorporeal kingdom said the same thing. It's not like over here in the Western world where we've got 40,000 denominations and nobody agrees. It isn't like that at all. All of the great seers in the Eastern world saw the same thing. And it's beautiful truth. It's a truth that brings rest to you and peace to you. That's what? Beyond this world. So when we're attached to this world at any level, we're not experiencing it. I'm telling you, we're either very arrogant or we're in fear. One or the other. I've never seen a balance of it. I've usually seen one or the other. So where can we get a hold of this lasting experience that we have never tasted of? So I want to talk about this new age. I hate to use that word. As we learn to withdraw from the fight of that which is temporary. What is this fight that's temporary? It's this compassion that disguises itself, that has this desire to transform the world in some way. But if your world is fabricated by your imagination and your judgment, the only thing that you need to transform it is to quit judging it. Sounds simple, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Simple, it sounds like, but not easy.
It sounds like a work,
yeah.
But you've got to see it. Mm-hmm. It isn't something. All I can tell you is I've seen it, and I've experienced it. And I struggle explaining it at a level that I'd like to. I'd love to just have this group of words that I could say to you and snap my fingers, and you'd be like the guy in the commercial when he says, I'm going to snap my fingers and you're going to clean my gutters. You know? I'd love to just snap my fingers and tell you you'd be transposed into this universe at the snap of my fingers. But if you listen over and over to this message, I believe you'll start to see the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And a feeling will come up inside you that will begin to guide you. And tomorrow we're going to get into this with some really practical things that can really help us deal with what? What do we got to deal with?
Our compassion? No.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But where does that come from? Right. Again, where's the culprit? Yeah. The mind. If you remember last time, Friday night, in the August retreat, I said, and I still believe, that we get up every morning and when our feet hit the ground, we believe a huge lie, and that's that we are our mind. And the reason I say that is because if you question anybody or try to correct them, even when they ask for correction, they get offended.
Mm-hmm. Including me.
People get offended so easily. They think you're talking about them. Well, there isn't anything I'm saying that I haven't experienced myself. So you all point your fingers at me, and I'll point my fingers at you, and then we'll be even. Okay? All right? I struggle with this. Do you hear me? Just because I sit up here doesn't mean I don't struggle with this. I'm not immune. But I know the difference. And I know the difference in a way that I can wait for it to come to me and teach me, so that I can share it with you. But a lot of what I share is brand new to me. And although we're like Johnny One Note when it comes to the judgment of appearances, I haven't found that magic hypnotic statement that stops people from judging the world. And it's very frustrating to me. I wished I knew it. You've got to experience yourself. You've got to have your own running escalator experience when it hits you. I was so embarrassed when this hit me. Not because I wanted to build myself up. It's just a couple days ago, I understood this, and I failed miserably in 2 days. Just totally failed.
Well, I'm glad to know that.
Well, at least I recognized it.
Yeah, me too.
Right? And you know what happened? I just started smiling and giggling about it all. I know there's been times when I've talked to this beautiful woman in a way that we hopefully didn't get recorded. But the difference is, I see it. And I come back and talk to her and say, you know, that was just my mind. It's not really who I am. And instantly, there's peace. Instantly. Instantly. Okay? I'm not saying she's totally innocent, but she approaches it a little more diplomatically than I do. You know?
Yeah.
So that means I learn quicker, I guess. So I got an advantage there. Because I hit hard. When I hit hard. There's so much more that connects us than separates us. And I think in this group that's formed, you know, that all these friends we have, these hundreds of friends, and I have people come to me all the time, many I've never heard of, and said, Mike, you know, I've been listening for years and you don't know what it's meant to me. Well, guess what? I haven't said a word. There isn't one word I've said that's helped somebody that's come from me, that's come from my mind. I can promise you that. Not one word. And so although I appreciate it, I appreciate the encouragement that what is being spoken to me isn't some crazy dumbass concoction. That's the thing I appreciate, because sometimes I'm going, what in the hell? How could anybody say out loud that the biggest illusion is the illusion of compassion?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get burned at the stake out there running around with a sign. So you got compassion where you're deceived. Well, they're going to think that you go get a stick and go around beating everybody then. And I'm going to answer that. That's not what it means at all. Does any of you want to get a big stick and go around and beat people?
No.
Hello? Anybody here? No. Good. Great. Well, we're above kindergarten level then, aren't we? So can we raise do we have to explain those things?
We're already.
You know, we shouldn't have to talk about that kind of stuff. We shouldn't even think that's what I'm talking about, is what I'm saying. So, although some of this stuff can be painful, I remember having some of this conversation on Dean's porch years ago. And it shook us up, you know. There was some resistance to it. You know, and I was a little shook up by it myself. But the wisdom of this true peace will build bridges, while the foolish continue to judge this world and build barriers. Well, listen to what comes out of your mouth. Listen to what you post on Facebook. Are you doing things that lift people up and bring joy and peace? And if you're not, it should stop. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be happening among us, because it's not the answer. It isn't helping anyone. We can't, at that level, argue at that level and convince anybody to change their mind. It's totally and completely hopeless. and helpless. And I love what Sharon Parker posted the other day, and it's things we've spoke of many times, but you can't solve a problem on the level of the problem.
Yeah.
Tony said that for years to us. And he learned it from Joel Goldsmith. You can't go into somebody on this level where there's disagreement and get anywhere. It doesn't happen. Something needs to happen that's other. A vision needs to come to us of this incorporeal universe that is what you are. Can you, would you run upstairs and get my black bag real quick for me?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting up on the bench. So, I don't want to do anything that builds a barrier. I don't want to do anything that offends you unless it shocks you into reality.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing something that's going to offend you back into reality.
Yeah.
And I hear about it, but it's not my intention. It's not why I'm here. It's not my goal. But I think sometimes we need to be shocked in order for this to speak to us. And what happens? You know, we have all these meetings, a lot of words are spoken, and people go home and say, boy, that was, somebody comes and say, that was your best lesson, you know, and I don't know which one's the best lesson, because there's a lot of different lessons that people said they're the best lesson.
Favorites to them with that number.
But I've become very sensitive about being specific about things. And I'd like to just quote a few things from a lesson on physics written by Carlo Rovella. And he's talking about the journey into quantum gravity. And what caught my eye is it said, reality is not what it seems. This is not a religious book in any manner. He talks a lot about Einstein. They talk a lot about what they see in science. And so I want to share some of it with you. They talk about the unity of all things and how for centuries the world was dominated by monotheism. Well, what's that? The worship of a god. Mono, one. Theism, the study of God. It began right after the appearance of Christ's death in the modern world. It also was part of who? The ancient Hebrews, who worshiped a god of reward and punishment. They talk about how crippling it was that this began. So, here it talks about the unity of all things, the profound unity of all things. All there is one. All there is unconditional love. And guess what? It is always kind.
Oh, yeah.
It's always kind. Now, that's hard to believe. So, there's a poem that was they're describing here that was written by Lucretius, and it's called The Song of Adams. Adams, not the name Adam. The songs of the atomic structure.
Mm.
Says there's a sense of luminous calm and serenity about this poem, which comes from the understanding that there are no capricious gods demanding of us difficult things and punishing us. Something?
Yeah.
Any belief in a supreme being will judge you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. A
lot of people out there still talking about God like there's something out there. Mm-hmm. It's rampant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people still flirting with the world of reward and punishment.
Yeah.
And don't understand what it means. That it was never, ever true. Ever. And here's these guys that had nothing to do with Christianity saying they're seeing it in the atomic structure. There is nothing organized in it. There is nobody causing it. It's way beyond what? Any concept you could have about life. It's way beyond understanding. It's how vast it is. Interesting. And there is this sense, this serene acceptance of the inevitability of death, which cancels every evil, and about which there is nothing to fear, for which Lucretius says religion is ignorant of.
Religion is ignorant?
Ignorant of it.
Yeah.
Now here's the big one. Here's another song from, and the people back then worshiped these people as gods. Okay, if you look back, of course it's funny, his name is Demon, Cretus. There is no fear of the gods, no ends or purpose in the world. No cosmic hierarchy, no distinction between the earth and the heavens. There is a deep love of nature, a serene immersion within it, a recognition that we are profoundly part of it, that men, women, animals, plants, and clouds are all organic threads of the marvelous whole without hierarchies. There is a feeling of deep universalism in the wake of the splendid words of Democritus. To a wise man, the whole earth is open, because the true country of the virtuous soul is the entire universe. Mm. Now, what if you're Tolkien's Wiglin and you realize the whole universe is inside you?
Well, I think that's a good thing.
What does that say? There's no separation.
Right.
There's no such thing as time and space, which we've said many times. How do we understand those things? Nobody can understand it. But it's been seen. It's something that you can feel. It's something that's intuitive that rises up within you and delivers you what? From your attachment to this world. So go home and ask yourself, where am I attached to this world? Because it's that place there that's keeping you from getting this sensation of this unconditional love I'm telling you about that has no purpose and has no plan. Because as soon as you have a purpose and a plan, you're being condemned by it.
Mm.
That's why it follows you around and judges every step you take. Because
yeah.
You're always questioning whether you're on the right track. You don't know any different. Now more than ever, we must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single people. These guys said the same thing. They saw no difference. Einstein said, the distinction between the past, present, and future doesn't exist. Well, who could stand up and do a long dissertation on that? Not very many. I've attempted to do it. But it doesn't mean that you fully comprehend it. What does that mean? There's no distinction between the past, present, future. It means it's all one thing. That the clock is not telling you the truth. Right. Does that mean if I see you looking at one, I'm going to slap you?
No.
Huh? Come on. Is that what it means?
No.
No. Thank you. Thank you, Kenny, for helping me out.
You're welcome.
Like saying we got the clocks in pitch.
No. Everything I'm saying is because I want to look after you. I want to share with you a truth that will help you deal with everyday life in a way where you have this bubbling joy and inner peace no matter what happens to you. Isn't that real love?
Yeah.
Huh? That's really my only desire. Although it comes out a little rough and a little nasty at times, I'm not saying I'm somebody that doesn't have sharp edges on my teeth. I do a little bit. I swear a little bit. You know, I'm not the best orator. I don't want to be foolish and judge this world and build barriers. So I'm really careful what I post. That's why we don't have meetings real often, because I don't want to just start blabbing, you know, to you about stuff. I want it to be something that you can listen to a year from now and really, really get something out of it and have it be something new. Have it be something refreshing that helps you. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, the non-duality teachers have went so far, it just puts everybody in a hole and you can't do nothing. You know, you end up just being nowhere, doing nothing. And I don't disagree with that, but we can't communicate at that on that level and get anywhere. So, now more than ever, we must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single people. So you ask me, how can we do this? Well, first I'm going to tell you how it won't be done. Okay? Because there's rumors out there. It's not going to be done by the even distribution of money.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And now it's going to happen, okay? Just to let you know. There's some people saying that. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to be done through free and endless supplies of water and energy so that all can live without need or care in this world, okay? It's not how it's going to happen, guys. That we're still back in religion. We might as well just go back and join back up to Christianity, because they're all looking for a new kingdom that's going to come to this world and transpose this world. I can't believe, I'm just so shocked when I hear just Van Impe speak 10 words anymore. But I used to listen to that and think it was true. And you know how long it's been since I listened to it? 50 years ago. And I mean Roxella looking good. Okay? She's aging really good.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing, but she still looks pretty good.
Okay, Botox. Yeah.
I'm something.
I'm sure it's Botox.
That's it.
So if someone comes and says, this is how it's going to happen, or that's how it's going to happen, don't believe them, because the kingdom is never coming to appear in a corporeal world on any level. This has been the great stumbling stone of the masses. We've talked about it, Rex. You were at Vineyard Churches. They all believe that stuff. It hasn't been that long ago.
Yep.
that we were involved in it. So we can't say we didn't believe it. All of us believed it.
I believed it. Who's in here?
There isn't some God up there waiting to appear and pour down the so much blessing you can't handle it.
You never bless me. Did I say that one?
So how's it going to be done? It'll be done by spreading the truth of a universe outside of time and space.
Yep.
What does that mean? I don't know. Stay tuned. Okay, hopefully we'll get some more. Right? It sounds really good.
Sure does.
But I mean, I can't write a book about it. I just know it's true. That's all I can tell you. I know it's true. I know it's true.
Yep.
Something in me bears witness to the fact that it's true. And I know what it isn't. So that's a good start. Right?
That's why I listen.
The secret to the universe isn't resting on some distant planet light years away. That was, you know, I thought, well, we're going to be like Star Trek someday. And we're going to find that brain in the sky somewhere on some distant planet, you know, throbbing, and that's the thing that's running everything. And he's so far away, he sort of missed us on Earth, right? So we'll grab the brain and bring it closer to Earth so things improve.
Well, I don't want that brain. It's like my brain, I don't want it at all.
So where is this place? Where is this universe outside of time and space? It's inside you.
Oh, yeah.
But it hasn't went anywhere.
I think that's pretty awesome, though.
That's a big secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's inside you. Jesus wasn't wrong when he said that.
No.
Everybody missed it in Christianity.
Yep.
Nobody knows what that means. That it's inside of you. There's no such thing as time and space, so it has to be completely and fully inside you.
Mm. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yep, among you, inside you.
So I want to bring you a different peace and joy that begins by teaching how we can live outside the illusion of compassion without the fear of death. That's where it begins. It's a peace beyond the reach of man. And that is where I use my influence to point others. Now, I just quoted you from Facebook of what Sharon Tucker said. She said, it's a peace beyond the reach of man, and that is where I use my influence to point others. She was talking about the same thing I'm sharing. She admits she doesn't understand it a lot, but there's something inside her that knows. That it's not about going around and correcting and complaining about what others are doing. That's not the answer. So please, people, humble yourselves and just look and see, are you spreading joy in everything you express? Ask yourself that. And it's not a law. It's a feeling. Something that checks you. And it's so, you know, when I start to feel depressed or anxious or something, and especially lately, I tried to pour a lot of energy into my wife, who has went through some difficult times over the last 3 years. And I love just giving her attention and taking care of her. And it gets my mind off of myself. And she's needed the help. But it really gets my mind off myself so I don't sit around like Eeyore, you know, woe is me, you know, this damn sky's falling. You know, because I've given up a lot of things. I don't really drink anymore because I like to drink scotch. And I almost don't smoke anymore. But I said to myself today, I had a couple cigars when we were down in Florida. And I said, is the most exciting thing in my life sitting on my ass puffing on a cigar? Because that's sort of what it was. Is that really it? Is that all it takes?
Maybe.
Is that heaven? Oh, man. I'm going, come on, Nevins. To me, the most exciting thing is right here in front of me. And it's to do everything I can for this woman to feel loved.
Yeah.
That's where it starts, with those that are closest to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't do that very well, then you just better stay there, okay? And quit spending all your energy talking about the man down the street.
Yeah.
If you aren't doing that very well, you don't have any business talking about how you should help others or help the world, because you're failing at that. So if we want to go on that level, and I'm going to get chewed out for that too, start there.
You only get chewed out because it's the truth and they don't like it.
Well, thank you for that. Why don't you post that?
I will. The next thing you post, I'll post that for you.
Sitting there right between the eyes, just like that karma thing. You hit your eyes, and I'm like, ooh, wait a minute here. Ooh, I got corrected. It was a good correction.
So there's, and here's what can happen. There's a... There, I experienced sort of an avalanche of fears, and I thought, well, how do you go in instead of throwing cold water on somebody and slap them in the face to get them out of it when they're really stuck in a lot of fear and worry?
Kindness.
You know, because that's one way to do it, right? Get freezing water and dump on them, hit them in the knee real hard with a hammer, and they'll forget about it for a few minutes at least, right? So that's one way. Probably isn't going to last really long. So, here's one example. Diane was going through some things, and we got some news about this, and one of her friends was talking to her about that, and then she really got into this spiral of despair. And I do too. But we got to the end of it and we said, well, do we know for sure that this is true? Do we know that this is absolutely true right now, this moment? And we had to look at each other and both of us said, no. Well, if it's not true, then it isn't reality. You can't live in the future, people. So if you have any fear at all, what are you trying to do? Live in the future. You're trying to control the future, which does not exist.
Yeah, you can't live in appearances.
Now, I've said that hundreds of times, but I'm telling you, it isn't sticking.
It's
hello?
Slowly sticking in me.
Slowly sticking. Thank you.
Super blue.
We can care about others that are suffering, but here's the key. Here's one of the big keys. But we do not have to embrace their fears of the appearances.
Yeah, true.
Any more than we embrace our own. We don't have to do that. We can go and love somebody. Doesn't mean we got to sit down and compare notes and start bitching about everything we're afraid of. And I remember Liz, when we went through this, our little young gal that left us with breast cancer back in 09, she said, Mike, I'm so exhausted because everybody's wanting to know everything about my cancer. She says, I just don't want to talk about it anymore. And I said, well, when they come, just ask them how they're doing. You know, don't answer them. And she started doing that, and she just felt so much better about all of it. She just was totally at peace. Completely at peace. I witnessed firsthand the experience of no death. I saw it firsthand in a young girl. Death never showed up. Death never came. Ever. It was almost like she was ready to go. Just this peace came over her and it was just calm. And all I know is whenever it's our time to leave, we'll have the grace to leave. We'll know.
Maybe she realized
And if you're afraid of it right now, it means it's not your time to go. Hello? No, isn't that good news? If there's some fear there about it, it means it isn't time, because when it's time, there won't be any fear. Hello, come in. That people, we ought to get up and jump around on that one and do a little dance. Because that's good stuff there.
It is.
Isn't that good stuff? We spent our whole life fearing something that's never going to happen, folks. We've been taught it, too.
Yeah.
We've been taught it. There's nobody to blame but your parents and their parents. Okay? But we don't have to buy into it anymore. We don't have to believe it. So, it can avalanche, it can snowball the worry and anxiety, but it's just like we can be in the world but not of it. You can go to somebody and love them and nurture them and give them massages and rub their feet and take them out to dinner and just love all over, slobber all over them. But you don't have to get in a pity party.
Right.
You don't have to embrace all of it. Okay? Your fear is your fear. And when I've experienced it, I'm telling you, when I was going through some of these things, there was only one person that knew about it, and that was this woman. Because I didn't want to create this big cosmic energy out there with all these brains piling up.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody would pray for me. That's the last thing I wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Huh? Gary Sigler and I talked about this when I was out to see him last February. We talked about this. When someone comes to you with their worries and fears, do not feel guilty for dismissing them. Reality is a dimension where there is no cause for alarm. Now tomorrow, I've got some good stuff for you tomorrow, I'm telling you. So
I think it's good stuff tonight.
It's pretty good, but tomorrow is really good. We're gonna be piling on. Tomorrow is gonna be packed loaded. So there's no point in trying to save a world that you think you see, because such a world does not exist. The world does not need to be saved. It only needs to be saved from what?
Itself.
Our judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our judgment.
Which starts here.
Some of you are flunking. I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years.
Well.
You're not listening.
No, I said
here.
Judgment. Not itself. Judgment. It's all right. I'll give everybody a C. Or a C plus, because we're all above average.
She said judgment.
Good. Thank you. Connie gets an A.
Judgment came out of the way.
So what happens if we quit judging the world?
You're at peace.
Well, it disappears.
Yeah. Well, it disappears, and then
the damn thing disappears, doesn't it? Isn't that funny? And I've said this many times. If I were to put you on a desert island and wipe out your memory, you'd be at peace. Every one of you, if I could do that. Because you'd have nothing to compare anything to. You'd have nothing to judge anything by. That's reality. That's reality. So can we wake up every morning and just scrub our mind with a big scrub brush and not bring our past over into today and enjoy every day?
Yeah.
Just enjoy every moment?
Just take no thought.
There's an extreme anxiousness toward caring for the dream. An anxiousness for caring for the dream. What's that tell you? And I mean, it's happening everywhere. there's an anxiousness about it. So while we're caught up in the remnants of this dream, through supporting this sense of compassion, we miss out on the beauty of what? Spontaneous life. We're not in the flow. I posted a Facebook post about going with the flow the other day. What's that mean? Life is flowing towards you, as you, every moment. Every moment. And you can't do anything about it. When we start to let go and stop trying to control, we'll finally start having some peace. And so in closing, I want to read some Robert Adams. He talks about some of the things that we're stuck in. Now, Robert Adams spent 13 years in India studying under Nisargadatta, Ramana, Papaji. He visited all of them. And he was a very famous sage in California and then ended up in Sedona, Arizona at the end there. And although, you know, none of these people, I can say that where I'm at, I agree with totally, but I mean, some good nuggets everywhere. More than you're going to find anywhere else, okay? So you can't go wrong attaching yourself to them, okay? So Robert said, in Western psychology, we're told that you never give up. We are taught to keep on fighting, but I'm telling you, there's nothing to fight. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what's going on with you. Now, there's a lot of people right now hearing those words, and I know they're being transformed. I can feel it right now. Put your hand on the camera. There is nothing to fight. I don't care what's going on. Do you hear me? The only thing that you're giving up is your ego. Yeah. Western psychology has never gone beyond this. Therefore, they do not know of a life beyond this. This is where we live. This is the European Western world. Western psychology works on the presumption that you're a body and a mind. So naturally they tell you never to give up, fight to the end, stick up for your rights. But in the highest teachings of truth, we learn that you have no rights. Why? Identity is an illusion. There is no separate you that has any rights. What did we just get done talking about? Everything's connected. There isn't a separate little blob that looks like a zit called Mike that's out here working on his own and just struggling and fighting and trying to get through life, you know? Now, there's times when I feel like I am. It's okay. I'm just telling you it's not real. Tomorrow, I'm really, you don't want to miss tomorrow. Okay? Please come back.
I'll be here. I'll bring you lunch.
When we rise to a higher dimension, there is a peace and a joy that's naturally yours. You begin to feel these things instead of the things you felt before.
I'm feeling them things. It's coming.
All right.
Prior to this, when you were fighting life, you were sticking up for your rights, you were criticizing others, and you're trying to get even. And when you're working as an ego, you were never able to feel a sense of happiness or joy or peace that lasted. Maybe sometimes, Maybe when you won, maybe when you got your point across, maybe when you won an argument, maybe when you won a fight, or when you sued someone, or worry, you felt, maybe you felt happy for a while, but it didn't last very long, he said. Then you have to go through it again and again. This is as far as the world goes.
That's good.
It doesn't know anything else but this. What am I saying to you? Hello. Let go of everything. Stop trying to control things. Do not hold on. Stand naked without any crutches, without anything to hold on to. When you can do this from this moment on, you'll begin to rise. And you'll become aware that you're not a body or the mind or the world, but you are effortless, choiceless, pure awareness. You are boundless space, infinite like the sky. You have become everything, and everything has become you. This is a feeling of joy and bliss beyond the mind, beyond understanding. There's nothing to fight. There's nothing to resist. Do what comes to you. Go where you will. But give up the fight. Give it up. Whatever it is. Thank you.